Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm just so glad to be with you again on this program, Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the feast of St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. She was born in France. She entered the newly founded Society of the Sacred Heart, and in 1818, she and five sisters of the order traveled to the frontier town of St. Charles, Missouri, and opened the first school for girls between the Mississippi River and the Rocky Mountains. The next 20 years were dedicated to founding schools. Rose made her last mission at the age of 72 among the Potawatomi Indians, where her infirmities kept her indoors. The Indians named her, and I can't pronounce the name, but the woman who prays always. Brothers and sisters, let's take a look at the readings for today that we might learn a little more about her. The first is from the Book of Maccabees, chapter 2, verses 15 to 29. The officers of the king in charge of enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modin to organize the sacrifices. Many of Israel joined them, but Mattathias and his sons gathered in a group apart. And then the officers of the king addressed Mattathias, "You are a leader, an honorable and great man in this city, supported by sons and kin. Come now, be the first to obey the king's command, as all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those who are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your friends shall be numbered among the king's friends. You shall be enriched with silver and gold and many gifts." But Mattathias answered in a loud voice, "Although all the Gentiles in the king's realm obey him, so that each forsakes the religion of his fathers and consents to the king's orders, yet I and my sons and my kin will keep to the covenant of our fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the law and the commandments. We will not obey the words of the king, nor depart from our religion in the slightest degree." As he finished saying these words, a certain Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modin according to the king's order. When Mattathias saw him, he was filled with zeal. His heart was moved and his just fury was aroused. He sprang forward and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he also killed the messenger of the king who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus he showed his zeal for the law, just as Phinehas did when Zimri, son of Salu. Then Matthias went through the city shouting, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and who stands by the covenant follow me." Therefore, he fled to the mountains with his sons, leaving behind in the city all their possessions. Many who sought to live according to righteousness and religious custom went out into the desert to settle there. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what would we do if our churches were attacked now? Would we try to do what the person causing the argument or the war, would we decide to just play along with them? Or would we stand up for what we believe? Brothers and sisters, please, I pray that it doesn't happen. But if it does, may we be ready to follow the Lord. Psalm 50 tells us, "To the upright I will show the saving power of God. God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Gather my faithful ones before me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice, fulfill your vows to the Most High. Then call upon me in time of distress. I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me. God will take care of us if we're willing now to put him first in our lives, to obey him, to love him, and to follow him. If we're willing to do that, no matter what our age, no matter whether we're married or single or religious, in one sense, what matters is, am I ready to follow the Lord wherever he leads? It's a hard one. But we love the Lord now and we try to do what he wants us to do, don't we? Then we should be ready to do whatever he asks of us. And believe me, I hope not. But who knows what oppressors may come against us at some time? Who knows? We've lived in a wonderful country, free. Please, brothers and sisters, let us turn our hearts to him now and say, I will follow you wherever you lead me. For to the upright I will show the saving power of God. Listen to that. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. And then we have today the Gospel of Luke. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know how we can say, oh, that's just religious jumble, whatever. I don't want any part of it. It is God who is leading us in the way of righteousness and goodness. Let us follow him with our whole hearts. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice. Fulfill your vows in the Most High. And then call upon me in time of distress. I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me. Think about that, how good God is. And then we take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Brothers and sisters, we do not know when God will come for all of us. We have no idea. We want to be in a position in our soul, in our mind, in our body, that we love the Lord and we follow him and we seek to obey his commandments and we ask forgiveness when we fall. That's what he's looking for. God will turn to us. And when he does, brothers and sisters, I want to be ready to go with him. And I want you to be ready to go with him. I want you to know the power of his love. Please, please think about whether your life is ready for whatever comes. Don't be afraid. God always gives all we need. But listen, I picked up the little article by St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. She founded the first houses in America of religious life of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and she writes, each time I send you a letter, I think it is the last I shall write in this life. Old age tells me this, and today an illness stresses it with more certainty. This illness is a swelling that goes from one side of my body to the other, and they say it will end my life. I have been in this condition, more or less suffering, since the end of November. I am far from trying to escape death. Indeed, I would long for it had I not so much reason to fear the judgment, since even the just man has no assurance of his lot, as God must judge even the just. That thought is terrifying. so pray and ask others to pray for me. I do the same for you and your family. I may, however, drag on for a long time. God alone knows when the end will come. Adieu, dear sister. Oh, the happy day when we shall be together once more. Then all the sorrows will end, and we shall have eternal happiness in the heart of our Savior, in whom I am your loving sister and friend. Brothers and sisters, there's a day when all of us will die. Are we saying, oh yes, someday. Someday maybe, yeah. Yeah, someday I'll look. Have you examined your conscience? Are you sorry for your sin? Have you opened your heart to God and asked him if there's anything else you should do more than loving him with your whole heart and mind and soul? That's what God wants from us. He understands our earthly loves. He knows them and he wants us to have them. But he wants us to make sure that our lives are going in the right direction. I've said that to you before, and I mean it. I want us to meet in heaven, all of us. Maybe I'll ask God if I can put out a big spike in the ground that has a sign on and say, all those from Food for the Journey come here. Really. But I long to be in heaven, and I long to be in heaven with all of you. So please, brothers and sisters, follow the Lord. Tell the Lord we're sorry for our sins. Go to confession, as I've said to you, if we need to. But brothers and sisters, he loves you. And each of us longs to be loved. Each of us in our own heart longs to be loved. And God is love. That's who God is. He is love. An infinite, eternal love for each of us. God can do that. And God wants to do that for you and for me and for all those we love and all those who are strangers and those we have served and those whose needs we have sought to answer. He wants all of us before him and with him forever. That's what God wants. But he gave us a free will, as I've told you so many times. And many times we do what we don't really want to do. And when we think, then go back to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean to do that. Please, brothers and sisters, open your heart to him. The Lord has always loved us, and the Lord is willing to give us everything we need. I'm not saying everything we'd like, but I'm saying what we need. He is so good to us, and he will be good to you, each of you. Right now, if you're alone, you're not alone. God is with you. If you're listening with others, let's remind one another we are not alone. God is with us. Amen, and God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.